You can watch us live at all the faces I make on our Facebook and YouTube and Twitter live stream.
I'm feeling dandy. I'm telling you. Peach keen, I say that too. And I mean it when I say peach keen.
All right.
We've unlocked Oplander.
That's it, Oplander.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the 1 o'clock hour, the third hour, the fun hour. Have you come up with a name for this yet, Greg Bach?
No.
Are you still on vacation brain?
You know what? No,
we need better branding. We need better branding for this hour.
I'm sorry. I forgot this was As Goes Wisconsin, branded by Greg Bach.
There's a whole bunch of things on Greg's
to-do list.
There really is. For someone who doesn't get paid, I really give him a lot of things to do.
You have a lot of stuff.
I came up with Oplander.
You did. We've used it a lot.
Thank you.
We've used it a lot.
If it's the only thing, if it's my only legacy for this show that I came up with, I'm more proud of Oplander than most of the stand-up I've done in 11 years.
I feel like we need to have a sketch. Like, I feel like there's so much leverage we can get out of this.
Yes.
So much material.
We were trying to contract a artist to draw Oplander, put on a shirt, sell some merch.
Yep. I think that's the first piece of As Goes Wisconsin merch is at Oplander. And seriously, artists out there, contact me. Find me on social media at I am Greg Bach. We can talk about it. Get us some sketches. We'll talk about prices. Please be not crazy expensive, but we'll pay you. Art's important. Art shouldn't be free unless you want to give it to us for free. The point is, we can make this happen. Oplander hats, t-shirts, sexy underdrawers. But what I wanted to say is that a fun fact, I didn't want to bring up a fun fact during the last segment because there was nothing fun fact about this. Jane, you want to hear a fun fact?
Absolutely.
She was talking about in the last segment.
Jennifer Boyd.
Jennifer Boyd, thank you very much. Jennifer Boyd was talking in the last segment with regard to the old days when people would walk during the street, down the street with oncoming traffic with respect to cars or trolleys. The Brooklyn, now LA Dodgers, got their name because when they were first founded in the early 20th century, they were named after the people who would walk down the street, the middle of the street in New York, who would dodge the trolleys that came down the middle of the streets. So they were originally called the Brooklyn Trolley Dodgers because they were the people who were dodging the cars and
term jaywalkers.
Yeah, just the people in the neighborhood were called the Trolley Dodgers. So the gentleman, I can't remember his name right now. I want to remember it, but I can't. He named the team the Brooklyn Trolley Dodgers, which got shortened to the Dodgers.
Look at what you learn listening to this program.
Thank you.
That is
Emmett. His name was Emmett. Yes. Emmett was the owner who called him that. So we learned something today. Oh, I just crossed something off my list. Teach America.
Well, we're going to teach America some more at the bottom of the hour at 1:30 because we found some, but not some, 14 facts about the past.
Oh, God.
That were a little too scandalous for you to learn in history class.
14 facts about the past are too scandalous for class. That was a fun one.
There you go.
Sorry.
So stick around for that. Then after right before that, we're going to do 5 more ways to improve your life without really trying. But for now, we didn't have time to do this in the first hour, but it is newsworthy. And it is important, as any of us who are concert goers or like to see shows, whether they're comedies or performing arts or music venues, because Ticketmaster had to go back to Congress yesterday and testify. And, there's actually a serious way that we could talk about this topic, but we're not going to do that because it's the third hour. It's the fun hour. So in case you missed it, We got some comedians on our hand in Congress, in the Senate. It kind of reminded me a couple weeks ago, in the first week of January, when the representative from Florida made what she thought was a very funny joke about the Democrats drinking. And she kind of had that very eager face of like, did you get it? Did you laugh? Did you laugh at my joke? It's kind of the same vibe I got with this when some of our senators who were questioning Ticketmaster yesterday about, and what really, you know, inspired this, even though Ticketmaster has been arguably a monopoly for a while. Yeah. They have been gouging consumers for a while, but because of the power of Taylor Swift and what happened when she decided to go with Ticketmaster for her newest upcoming tour, and how many people got screwed because mm-hmm. they're the bots, apparently. That's the Ticketmaster executives were blaming the bots.
We are the robots. Doop, 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 doop. Sorry.
And so some of our senators decided to show off their T-Swift lyrical knowledge. So let's just play. Let's play some of that.
You have to have competition. You can't have too much consolidation. Something that, unfortunately for this country, as a ode to Taylor Swift, I will say, we know all too well.
And may I suggest respectfully that Ticketmaster ought to look in the mirror and say, I'm the problem. It's me.
To be honest, I had hoped, as of a few months ago, to get the gavel back. But once again, she's cheer captain, and I'm on the bleachers. So it was nice.
Oh, you're a little more than that.
Nice of Taylor Swift to have written a song about this very situation.
Nothing funnier. The two funniest groups of people in the history of ever, I've always said this, newscasters and politicians. Funniest.
Well, some of them, I mean, is there anyone besides Al Franken that you think actually is genuinely funny that served in Congress?
Barack Obama.
He didn't, yeah.
He served in the Senate.
He is funny. I'm trying to think of other actually funny politicians.
Mark Pocan. Get out there and follow Mark Pocan on Twitter right now, Wisconsin, because he is so funny. He is so dry. He is so funny. I stan Mark Pocan, okay? He is so good. Pocan, come on the show. Let's talk.
Jane, can you think of anyone else who's like genuinely funny?
Not off the top of my head. I just want to say I find it beyond hilarious that Mike Lee of Utah made himself a cheerleader. I just think that's priceless.
And also, I mean, Mike Lee and Amy Klobuchar, so that's who spoke. Who was the second guy? It was also a Republican, I think.
No, that was a Democrat.
If you could look up his name quickly, because I didn't recognize him, but the first person who spoke was Amy Klobuchar, who said, you know, all too well. And she
thinks she's hilarious.
She had some, when she was running for president, I feel like she had a lot of moments like that where it was like the wink, wink, like innuendo pun kind of jokey thing. And then, it was just a bipartisan hearing as far as she and Mike Lee together, who I don't think Mike Lee was the first person I necessarily think of, because this is also the person who's very conservative, but this is to talk more about this seriously, it is a bipartisan effort as far as both sides. Apparently yesterday, as far as they showed up and how they were questioning the executives, being pretty skeptical of the answers they were getting from the executives. There was also a artist who testified, who talked
Lawrence
about
band.
What
the Lawrence band, a guy from the Lawrence band,
and he testified for like, they only saw $6 out of every $42 ticket that was sold.
They had to pay Ticketmaster 20% of their merch sale. I mean, they have to get money. It's ridiculous. It's criminal, in my opinion.
And so that says that the Ticketmaster owns 80% of the market. So what else what are even your options besides?
I can tell you.
Tell me.
So like at the club, we don't use Ticketmaster. We use a service called eTix. eTix is a very popular service for independent and smaller venues. I know that other venues use them. I know that bigger venues than us use them. So there are other opportunities to use them. But like on a scale of like a Taylor Swift, you kind of don't have an option.
But this was the first time I think she had done that, right? Previously, because when her apology about all of this, of how disappointed she was at how this happened, you know, she referenced how seriously she takes the relationship she has with her fans. And so even choosing to not handle ticketing, I think they were doing it internally, if I remember this correctly.
Yeah.
And that this was the first time, because it was going to be such a big deal, that she entrusted Ticketmaster to handle it. And obviously they did not.
Yeah.
But I think before they were a big enough program that they were doing it
on their own.
Maybe.
I know that bands like Fish have their own internal ticketing service. I know like bands that like, and Pearl Jam back in the 90s tried to sue Ticketmaster because they wanted to have $20, $25 tickets, and that failed. I mean, you have options depending on the size of your venue, because it's not the artists. It's artists working with the venues, and the venues generally work with Ticketmaster or Live Nation. And
because then Live Nation is the owner of the venues, right?
Yeah,
isn't that why, with the combination of that merger, mm-hmm. why this is now arguably a monopoly?
Yeah, and it's not fair. Like, in 2020, I tried to get tickets to go see Rage Against the Machine at Alpine Valley, and before they even when they went immediately on sale, the cheapest ticket I could find was $2,100. Now, that's Alpine Valley. The most expensive ticket probably there, if you were just to walk up to the box office, probably be a couple $100, which is fine. It's Rage Against the Machine. They tour once every 10 years. But the bots had gotten them to the point where they were already on the on the secondary market, selling on Ticketmaster's website to us $2,100 tickets. And those were the cheapest.
I just want to throw in here, too, that other senator in that clip that we played was Richard Blumenthal, who's a Democrat from Connecticut.
Thank you.
That was the one who said, hi, I'm the problem.
Yeah, it's look me. In the mirror. It's me.
I mean, it's a problem overall. It's something that, you know, like when I go to a venue now, like when I buy tickets, I go to the venue directly just to circumvent some of the online fees. But I'm still getting $20 to $30 in fees. It goes. Honestly, I feel like this whole show today has been about problems that have easier solves than we think. But at the end of the day, what will our lawmakers honestly and openly do? Because I'm sure Ticketmaster has a lobbying arm. I'm sure that there are people who are in the pocket of entertainment and who are going to do whatever. But
this is moving to the Justice Department. So they've already, the Justice Department, so this is outside of the lawmakers as of right now, have already launched an investigation into Ticketmaster. But the popular revolt against Ticketmaster might have already begun. Country artist and vocal Ticketmaster hater Zach Bryan announced that his upcoming tour will avoid the ticketing giant at all costs.
Good.
So maybe it comes from the artists. All right. Well, talking about some simple solves, when we come back, five more ways to improve your life.
To leave your lover?
No, to improve your life slightly without really trying.
Okay.
This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Problem is all inside your head, she said to me. Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. It's Wednesday, so Greg Bach is here.
Good song.
Shane Matinere is on the board. We're in the fun hour.
We had a texter, by the way, checked in with some suggestions for what we should call the hours.
Ooh!
I have one too, by the way. Go ahead, Jay.
Okay, 541. Thank you so much for texting. 844-967-2789. Hour one is the win hour. Hour two is the con hour, and hour three is the sin hour.
So win, con, and sin?
Win, con, and Wisconsin.
Look at that. I feel like our third hour should be more saucy and sexy then. Mine was the non-sour fun time ha-ha power hour, but, you know, that's just a lot of words.
It's a lot of words, but I don't hate it.
Yeah.
Say it again.
The non-sour fun ha-ha power hour.
That has potential.
Thank you.
We can work with that.
Remember it. I'm barely still remembering our talk and text line.
How come that never comes back to me to say party anymore?
844-967-2789. That is 844-96.
Party.
We would love to hear from you. All right. So I'm not sure we've done this with you here.
I also feel like we've got a lot of engagement today from the folks out there in Radioland listening.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, everyone. No, we haven't. This is new for me.
So we started this I think the first day we were back on air, and because I found it on January 1st, it is a article of 100 things to slightly improve your life without very much effort that The Guardian, which is a British publication,
The Guardian,
put out January 1st. And we've just been doing about five. Some days we've forgotten it. Some days we've done 10, but trying to do about five a day.
Okay.
And so it's time. It's going to be timed out pretty much accurately to okay. finish at the end of the month.
Yeah.
And we may keep a segment, like a daily self-help segment. We'll yeah. see. We're playing with it. We're okay. experimenting.
All right.
But we are on number 71. So basically ooh, okay, how we do this, Greg, is I read it off. We kind of exchange what we think about that piece of advice. And if it's something that we think we would adopt into our life, or if we just were like, no, thank you. All right. So we're at number 71. Switch your phone off on holiday, or at least delete your work email app.
Ooh, I'm more for the switch your phone off, just because putting the email thing back on is more work than I need. So I would, yes, totally on board with that. Or like, you know, maybe not switch it off if you don't want to. Put it in another room, put it in your bedroom, and then come downstairs or go to, you know.
Did you turn your phone off when you were just on vacation?
Well, fun fact about me, I'm cheap. So I have a program where in order to use my phone, I have to be on Wi-Fi. So New Orleans is terrible for Wi-Fi because their buildings are like 9,000 years old. So I was on my phone only when I needed to be, period. Oh. Unless we were in the hotel room, then we were relaxing, whatever. But when we were out in the world, I generally had my phone in my pocket and just enjoying everything around me. So yeah, yeah.
All right, great. Number 72, always use freshly ground pepper.
I mean, is there any other kind? What am I, a plebeian? Or serf? Do I live in Stalas or Tosa? I mean, for God's sakes, what do I look like to you?
Do you always use freshly ground pepper?
Are you kidding?
I have some very nice Penzies pre-ground pepper, but it comes a little too fast. And so if I forget that that's the bottle that comes out too fast, I know.
Put in your palm, a little pinch.
You think that I'm careful enough person to do that?
I don't. Tall potatoes, I don't think that.
No. All right, 73. Thank a teacher who changed your life.
Mrs. Noe.
That's so, that was so on the tip of your tongue.
At CMH right down the road here, she changed my life. She's I would say she's a part of two or three teachers who truly changed my life, especially in high school when I needed it the most.
I have to think of, I've had a lot of good teachers. I would say the first one who always comes to mind, Mrs. Passman at Cherokee Middle School in seventh grade, who I think we had a whole social justice. I don't know if she called it social justice, but she was a social studies and English teacher. And there was a lot, she's Jewish.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, I think, influence of social justice themes that started in her class.
Nowadays, they just call that woke.
Yeah, that's true. She probably would get, if she was in Florida, she definitely wouldn't have a job anymore.
She'd get fired.
I want to give a shout out to Miss Zarin, who was like my sixth or seventh grade teacher. And actually, we had to write a short story. And my short story, which now is no longer politically correct, but you got assigned a word and you had to make a story out of it. And my word was mustard. So I wrote a story called Mustard Midget, Mini Midget or something like that. And and she told me I could write.
Oh.
And that changed my life. And just within the last 5 years, I found out that she was ill and had terminal cancer, and I was able to call her and tell her that she changed my life. And so if you have the opportunity to do that, seriously, tell a former teacher.
Yeah, now I'm thinking about there's like three or four teachers if I could get a hold of. I had a poetry teacher who kind of changed my way of thinking, a history teacher and a speech teacher. I mean, seriously, they were very important to me. They still are. They will always be important to me.
All right. Well, this next one's for both of you.
Okay.
In regards to me. Respect your youngers.
Shut up. Who cares? See,
that's
Jane.
We only have 2 minutes left, but there's no rebuttal.
Jane, this is what I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about millennials and these Gen Zers who just want respect for no reason. They didn't earn anything. Get back to your Jamba Juice iPads and go
avocado toast.
Yeah, go tweet at your avocado toast non-binary friends about whatever. I don't know. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I totally 100% agree with that. 1,000%. I do
maybe
not
just respect everybody.
Yeah. Well, but I think we're told
except
to respect
Chris Seals. Maybe
tack with him. I think the more we respect our younger people at my age, and I'm not older, I'm not old, but I'm at an age where people are starting to like have their opinions. And I think personally, I want to look at younger people and say like, hey, you're going to influence me on what to think about and what to listen to and what to, you know, yes, I totally agree with that.
All right. The last one I think is written for me. 75. Last one for today. Keep your keys in the same place.
Yeah. That's just helpful.
Good advice. Good advice if you can follow it.
Not hard. Get a little hook.
I know.
Yeah.
Or a dish or
put
something.
When you're out in the world, put them on your pants loop with a little
jingle to it.
Yeah. A little jingle in your step.
Her mind was never on what she was doing. All right. We're taking a break.
But yet she persisted.
14 history facts that are a little titillating. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, leave, and get yourself free. Slip out the back chair, make a new plan, stand. You don't need to be coy, bro. You just listen.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride. No matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in today. If you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen to the podcast, which you can find on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts. And as always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. And that is Mr. Greg Bach, because it's Wednesday, who is joining us, and Jane Matinair is here. And now, Greg, Jane and I last week, I think we made history on talk radio.
Whoa.
For how many times we said the word vagina.
Oh my gosh.
On air.
It was certainly a first for me.
Certainly a first for, and we were trying to demystify and destigmatize.
Yep.
The word, because yeah. New York Mayor Eric Adams, they're launching a women's health thing, and he actually was saying, he's like, if we were more comfortable saying vagina, like, I think there would be less, you know, women would be take more better care of their health and all this stuff. Yeah. So we had a whole conversation about it. We got lots of feedback.
We did.
A lot of people, I got multiple emails of people saying this was an excellent conversation. And
one guy,
I'm sure,
keep talking about it.
I'm sure there's some people, I didn't hear from anyone who didn't like it. So there you go.
Okay.
But in the same vein of talking about facts and science and destigmatizing things that have to do with sex.
Yeah.
I thought let's keep the fun going now that Greg Bach is back. So Jane, I think the way we're going to do this, because this is an article that is not safe for work history facts,
mm-hmm.
that I found in BuzzFeed. And I think Greg and I are going to take turns reading the facts. And then you can rank them of how not safe for work are they?
Okay.
Maybe on a scale of 1 to 5.
1 to 5.
scale of
one being the least and 5 being the most.
5 being we may get a fine from FCC. Okay. We're just reading that on the radio.
HR will call us.
Okay.
All right. Do you want to go to the first one, Mr. Bach?
Yeah, I will do that, Ms. Bry. Okay, number one. The world's first microbiologist, Antoine van Leeuwenhoek, discovered sperm after putting his own semen under the microscope.
As one does.
As one does. They're curious.
If you're the first one, how do you get there? If he hadn't done it, it'd be like 1941 until we figured something out, some freaking, you know, Tulsa. I don't know.
Also, read the rest of it.
Oh, okay. Anton started off by examining more family-friendly objects under the microscope, but his colleagues kept urging him to investigate semen, as one does when you work with someone. Before his discovery of sperm, which was called animalcules, weird, glad they renamed that, rebranding, there were some questionable theories about how babies were made, storks included, including the belief that semen contained really tiny humans that transfer to women during sex.
That's why I wanted you to read the whole thing.
I'm going to do it in a voice next time. The next one I'm going to do in a voice. Okay.
So where would you rank that, Jane?
I give that a 1.
Yeah.
Those are basic scientific facts.
And someone had to figure it out.
Exactly.
If you look at the article on BuzzFeed and the stamp that's dedicated to this man, his face looks like what happened exactly when he just about put it on the slide. So, all right, next one.
ancient Egyptians believed that the god of creation birthed the world by masturbating and viewed it as a magical act. The belief was that Atum, A-T-U-M, whose name comes from the word completion, was alone on the planet until he ejaculated and all living creatures were made.
And on the seventh day, he slept.
What do you think, Jane?
That's a one.
That's a one.
That falls under...
We've yet to rattle Jane.
That falls under religious studies.
Hey, you guys want to hear about religion? Down this alley? All right.
It's going to surprise you.
Number three. During World War I, STIs were incredibly common, and some soldiers purposely tried to get infected so that they could be honorably discharged and avoid the trenches. Some soldiers were ordered to be chased, but that didn't really help. Those who had managed to hide their infections used matchsticks to transfer the pus to another man.
Oh my gosh!
That's trust. Can you get a ruling, Jane?
That was early inoculation. I mean, that's basically what they did in the early stages of coming up with vaccines for things and trying to inoculate yourself.
I think that's how I tried to get rid of COVID,
just
too,
like
back
Aaron
in 2020.
Rogers has been inoculated.
John Adams do something like that? I'll give it a one.
All right.
Wow.
It's history.
All right. Here we go.
All right.
Next.
Number four. The German Emperor Kaiser Wilhelm II had a teenage crush on his mom and even wrote her letters detailing the sexual dreams he had about her. Wilhelm, who happened to be Queen Victoria's grandson, tried to win his mom over by telling her he dreamed of kissing her, among other disturbing things. She obviously didn't take him up on his advances and just corrected his grammar.
This is not a problem, you guys. This is psychoanalysis.
Also, pretty much in the ballpark for the royal family. So I'm just going to say, I mean,
fair.
Not really.
it falls under the psychology umbrella.
Jane is just, I mean.
I'm an academic, you guys. At core, I'm really an academic.
Just ice in her veins.
Let's just
can't bother her.
All right, let's next one here. Mozart composed a song which literally translates to lick me in the arse. The prodigy wrote the canon as a party piece for his friends, while the literal translation sounds pretty raunchy. Leck mich im Arsch. Because you know the Germans, we just love to be sexy with our talk. Is the equivalent to kiss my A word. Can I say that on air? Can I kiss?
I'd rather you didn't.
Okay, cool. Kiss my A word. So it's not quite as outrageous as you might think. I mean, that just sounds like a diss track.
I mean, good for Mozart.
Yeah.
He was a feisty guy.
Yeah.
Mozart. Do you know much about Mozart?
A little bit.
All right.
But
I know less art.
This falls under both music theory and languages.
Another one.
So another one?
Yeah, it's another one.
All right, cool.
All right, so if you're just joining us, we are going through 14 not-safe-for-work history facts that I found on BuzzFeed. Greg and I are reading them off. Jane is giving them a rating. Yet to break one. All of this pretty safe for work in Jane's book.
It's all academic.
It's all academic. It is all academic. All right. This is, as a Les Mis fan, I think you're going to like this one.
Oh, good.
Number six. Author Victor Hugo was so popular with the local sex workers, when he died, every brothel in Paris closed down for a day of mourning. Victor, who wrote The Hunchback of Notre Dame and Les Miserables, was a celebrity in Paris and was pretty obsessed with sex. He was such a loyal customer that all the city's sex workers had the chance to pay their last respects to him. One account even claimed that some sex workers draped their genitals in black material as a sign of respect.
That's just a man who supports local economy.
And entrepreneurs.
And support sex workers.
Yes.
I mean, this is 21st century thinking on the part of a guy who's written some stuff I've never seen.
Think about the men who were so disappointed at how angry they were at a recently deceased Victor Hugo when they couldn't go to the brothel that day because they were all closed down
But think of the ones they knocked on the big door and they're like, I would like to see someone. Like, we're closed. It makes sense. It makes sense. All right.
Respect.
Yeah.
All right. We're only halfway through.
Here we go. Number seven. In ancient Greece, large penises were associated with foolishness, which would explain why so many statues have tiny ones. Evidence suggests that back then, small penises were what the people wanted. According to the myths, Priapus, a god of fertility, was cursed by Hera and was horrible, impotent, and ugly. Statues of him always show him with a huge B word, which is the complete opposite to the depiction of the more popular gods.
Huh.
What are you going to say? I feel seen. All right.
This is a one. It falls under Greek mythology.
Okay.
So have we gotten anything other than a one yet?
No.
All right. Number eight. King Charles had a plethora, I love that word, of royal mistresses, including actress Nell Gwynn, who gave one of her rivals a laxative-laced cake to sabotage her relationship with the king. Moll Davis was one of the king's most famous courtesans and even had a daughter with him. Nell arrived on the scene a little later, and when it came to becoming the king's favorite, she played dirty. Moll was given a laxative before she left to enter the king's chamber, and, well, the laxative did its thing. Not long after, the king gave Moll a house in Westminster and dismissed her, while Nell went on to have two sons with him, which he created earl titles for.
Which, this is the kind of practice we saw in the movie Dumb and Dumber.
I know.
So, Jane?
This is the literal translation of Montezuma's Revenge.
Yeah.
I would give it a two only because I am not a big fan of scatological humor.
Okay.
I will say this, too. Both of them won out. I mean, one got a house in Westminster, so, I mean, she didn't get to be with the king, but she still got a house. That's property. That's real estate. That's free real estate. All right. Number nine. Mary Shelley, the author of Frankenstein, had sex in the graveyard her mom was buried in. Poor use of the sentence, by the way. She had sex in a graveyard where her mom was buried. All right. Shelley spent a lot of time visiting her mother's grave in St. Pancras Churchyard and had a big interest in life and death. When she met her future husband, Percy, she took him along to the graveyard, and that's where they got it on. That's not so bad.
I mean, I wouldn't do it, but...
I mean, a lot of people have sex in a graveyard. Jane, I don't feel like this is even a crack of one for you.
It's not even. It's a blip.
Yeah.
We've got to work harder next week.
All right, number 10. Irish author James Joyce wrote some pretty kinky love letters about farts. When Joyce was away in Italy, he wrote letters to his partner, Nora, and he did not hold back. He explicitly detailed almost every sex act you could think of and mentioned farting during sex a lot. He really put the NS in the NSFW, so read with caution.
You put that at the... Oh, I see.
Because you can link to the letters
actually
said. No, thank you.
I'll just believe you.
Okay, I'm going to give this a four.
Whoa!
Only because I had a James Joyce course in college and I hated it.
Okay.
And I'm not a Joyce fan.
Okay.
It was painful.
Got it. Vengeful. I like it.
Yes.
Number 11. When he was 27, author Edgar Allan Poe, author of Things of the Raven and other scary stories, married his 13-year-old cousin. Edgar's dad and Virginia's mom were siblings. Weird. They lived together in a family home before they were publicly married in 1836, and Virginia's age was listed as 21. She died at 24, and critics believe that the Raven was inspired by her illness and death. I mean, let's call this the Jerry Lee Lewis thing.
There's several that we could reference that to. So I don't find that shocking. That's a one.
Bill Wyman from the Rolling Stones married a 16-year-old, I think. I
mean, like 13.
I mean, I don't agree with it, but it
happens.
We got three more we could squeeze in before the end of this segment, and I'm sure some people are really hoping this segment will end. All right, when Churchill was visiting the White House during World War II, Franklin D. Roosevelt accidentally caught him in his birthday suit.
Accidentally.
According to the accounts, FDR wanted to run an idea past Churchy, so he burst into his bathroom. That's weird. Where he was standing naked after the bath. Churchill was pretty chill about all of it. And when Roosevelt tried to leave, he said, "You see, Mr. President, I have nothing to hide from you." Churchill. Gotta love Churchill.
Yeah.
That's a one.
Yeah, that's a one.
And 20 years later in the White House, if you were just walking down the hallway, you'd see a naked LBJ, whether you liked it or not, because that man was naked almost all the time. All right. 13, lucky number 13, King Tutankhamun was mummified with a B word, an erection.
Yeah, that's good.
There we go. Yep. When his embalmed body was discovered, his penis stood upright. Historians believe that it was arranged like this deliberately to symbolize the political struggle of Egypt at the time. I don't understand if I understand the definition of the word struggle.
It's interesting that why would that represent the struggle of Egypt?
I mean, maybe it meant something to the effect of like, you know, we did it. So
isn't that the ultimate flip off?
We've made it through,
that's the ultimate bird.
We made it through,
it's giving the ultimate bird.
I mean, let's just face it. Egypt made it through some hard times. Moving on.
Last one. All right. When Michelangelo painted the Sistine Chapel, he added a bunch of secret messages. I'm sorry. I've read the Da Vinci Code. I know they're there. Including what some believed were insults to the Pope. The fresco has hidden messages from Jewish tradition, symbols of the female anatomy, and what some historians have interpreted as direct insults to the Pope who commissioned the piece. Basically, Michelangelo was trolling 15th century style.
Early graffiti studies.
Yeah. So,
it's a one. It's a one.
Everything's a one.
Unless
except
it's James Joyce.
All right, well, stick around. We're going to hear who's coming up at the Laughing Tap. LaughingTap.com this weekend. So stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Knocked flat on the ground and there's no hope around. I'm on my way. If your phone goes splat in a toilet that is like a toxic vat, yeah, there's no way. Sorry, there's some things there's just no way I'll do. Not even for a friend like you.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We got Greg Bach here to help us wrap up the show, Jane Matt Nair. And this is the last reminder, because when you hear next
tomorrow
from us.
Yeah.
The $1 million ad giveaway will have been live for 2 hours. So this is my last reminder, my last beg of you, because we want to help you. Let us help you if you are a business owner. Our $1 million ad giveaway starts tomorrow at 9 a.m., Thursday, January 26th. All you have to do is go to civicmedia.us/million, and the application will be live at 9 a.m. A couple of questions you have to fill out, and at the bottom, you're going to say, who sent you? As Goes Wisconsin sent you. Jane and Kristen sent you. But truly, take advantage of this.
Yep.
This is going to be...
Can I take advantage of this?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
I'm surprised. I guess, have we not told you about this?
You have told me about it off air, but I'm just wondering, because I do this, am I eligible?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
I don't want to be...
And so, because you are a venue owner, and
yes,
we want people to see more comedy, because
yes,
you're all comedy enthusiasts.
Yes.
And with being comedy enthusiasts, who's coming to the Laughing Tap this weekend?
Mr. Paul Farivar.
All right. Tell us about his comedy.
He is a wonderful Chicago comedian. I used to be a lawyer. Fun lawyer stories. Now does comedy full time. And he is, like I say, he's from Chicago. He has a podcast called Singles Only, where he interviews single people. I think all the people.
It would be weird if he only...
Well,
interviewed married people.
Well, you know, I personally feel a little shut out of this venue here, which is upsetting me. But he's coming back to the Laughing Tap. He was here last year. He's going to be doing Friday and Saturday, one show a night, 7:30. You can get your tickets at laughingtap.com. Get yourself some Friday shows. Friday shows still have plenty of tickets going. Saturday is pretty much almost sold out. Mm. So if you want to come out Friday night. And yeah, he's wonderful. And I believe we have a clip.
I'm just happy to be doing comedy again out in public, because like for the last 8-10 months, we as comedians weren't allowed to do comedy anywhere. LA, New York, Chicago, where I'm from, was all shut down. So the only places we could go do comedy were places that didn't believe in COVID. So I got to go to some places that I've been wanting to go to for so long, like Alabama. I went twice this summer. First time I went was in June, and I went into a gas station to get snacks wearing a mask, and the old man behind the counter just looks at me and goes, "Nice mask, pussy." I'm like, "Come on." I'm like, see, there's this whole pandemic going around the world. I must have skipped Alabama. But I went back there in July. I went back to that gas station, and he was dead, so it all worked out, right? So,
oh, dark.
Yeah. So that's Paul. He's going to be here. And we got Carly Mallison featuring and Daryl Cochran hosting. Like I said, two shows, one on Friday, one on Saturday, 7:30, both nights. LaughingTap.com for tickets, and LaughingTap.com for all your comedy needs with regard to the club. MilwaukeeComedy.com for all your comedy needs within southeastern Wisconsin. We got shows all over there, including Cedarburg. We're working in concert with the Cedarburg Cultural Center for a show up there.
It's a beautiful place.
It's a beautiful place. Got a great lineup. Chastity Washington, who is, hands down, my favorite comedian in the city. You never want to follow her.
Which is saying something, because you're friends with most of them.
Yeah, and most of them are not funny. They're very crass. And I find her so hilarious and she's so wonderful, and we've worked together so many times. I'm so excited. Anytime she's performing, I'm happy. And I'd love to have her on the show one time, because she's just pure beauty and wonderfulness.
She's beauty. She is grace.
She is all the things in your face. And follow us on the social media. If you're on the social medias, people, on those TikToks and those Instagrams and those YouTubers and things like that, at the Laughing Tap. You can find us there. At the Laughing Tap. The website's laughingtap.com. But yeah, follow us and have some fun with us on the Friday and Saturday.
Do you have any fun open mic stories that have happened in...
There's nothing fun about open mics. It's hard, trench-like pain. Let me just say that sometimes I ask a man for a match to give me an STI so I don't have to go to an open mic. It's awful. It's awful. No. Honestly, like, my favorite thing now, like, it's been happening lately, are people who call us ahead of time and say things like, you guys got an open mic? I'm like, yep, you do 7 o'clock sign up, 8 o'clock showtime, come on down. And they're like, cool, I want to come down there and do some funny, like, I want to be funny. I'm like, all right, cool, 7 o'clock sign up, 8 o'clock showtime. Yeah, because I got these really great ideas. Great, 7 o'clock sign up, 8 o'clock showtime. And then, like, they'll keep us on the phone for, like, 15 minutes with all these ideas. And then they think that they're doing a show. They think they're a professional. Like, they're like, I did a show last night. I'm like, you were here last night at an open mic with 29 other people. Like, I get what you're saying. Everyone starts somewhere. That's important. I'm not going to denigrate your journey. But when people are like, I do shows all the time. Like, you do open mics all the time.
Which are important.
And
you must have seen, Greg, over the years, because you've been doing this a long time.
I have.
That people actually do get better, right?
Yes. Yes. There is, my God, there is fewer things I love in this industry than seeing a person who starts off terrible, as we all start off terrible, mm-hmm. who slowly just finds their voice and finds their lane and goes down and just starts not only writing funny stuff, but getting more personal with their stuff. They don't have to get deep, dark personal, but just having a point of view that's wonderful. And especially when you can witness, like, oh, last month they were, God, this person's not very funny. And you're like, oh, and then all of a sudden they just get on stage and they do 5 minutes. You're like, oh, there it is. There it is. Yes. And you get to see them grow. And over the years, I've got to see some amazing comics grow into great hosts, great features, great headliners, opening for bigger artists, touring around the country, recording records. It's wonderful to see. And, you know, I mean, it's their journey. It's not mine. I just get to witness it, but it's something still great to see. But that all starts in the open mic. So, like I said, I'm not making fun of open micers at all. I do open mics and when I can, but it's those people who treat it like they're like I'm gonna come in here and make you laugh. I'm like, I'm sure you won't, but why don't you buy a drink while you're at it? Like, I mean, it's very funny to witness. And like, I'm trying to think, there's one guy who just is treating every open mic like a show lately. And he's a nice guy. He's very, very new, but it's, you know, he's like, man, I'm gonna come here and just make you guys laugh, and then you're gonna put me on one of your shows. I'm like, no, we're not. We'll do it in time. You gotta develop, and there's a process. But yeah, I could go on with this in hours. I could tell.
I could tell
real specific stories, but I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Yes. But yeah, for new people who want to do comedy, just respect the venue, respect the producers, respect everyone who's running it, and don't think because it's your first time that you're gonna become famous at that point. Just, you're going to slog. You're going to trudge. You're going to be sad. Well, you're already sad. You're a comedian. So, but I mean, that's just how it is. LaughingTap.com. Paul Farvar.
There you go. All right. Well, with that, that'll about do it for us today on this Wednesday edition. Stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Unless you're listening to WXCO in Wausau, then you got the Chad Holmes Show coming up next. But thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for texting. Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin. Come back tomorrow at 11 a.m. And don't forget, $1 million ad giveaway tomorrow at 9 a.m. See you later.
Out of gas on a big icy pass, and you need some help fast. There's no way if you're moving again, and you need a free friend to work the whole weekend. There's no way if a stomach bug takes out your new rug and you feel like a hug. Yeah, there's no way. Sorry, there's some things there's just no way I'll do. Not even for a friend like you. Some things, there's just no way.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.